One of the reasons I believe God has me saying that you hear specifically what he needs you to hear. Sometimes God is speaking to us and we don't get it for whatever reason. And for example, if he's been on your case to go out on missions, no matter what I say, you're going to hear mission trip, mission trip, mission trip. So when you hear me say, you know, let each one hear exactly what you need them to hear, be ready to hear some things that you've been trying to push to the side, because God's amplifying it, because we're in the last of the last days. We're going to continue in this series, Renewing Your Mind. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about change your thoughts, change your life. Meaning, when you change your thoughts, you will change your life. And we're going to start off where we've been starting in this series of Romans 12. And I'm going to share it in two translations, the King James Version and the Passion. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let us know that what we think has something to do with this. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Passion Translation says, beloved friends, what should our proper response to God, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? This lets me know that he had observed some things that were improper responses. Then he said, I encourage you. In the King James Version, he said, I beseech you. I was thinking about this just moments ago. When Paul said, I beseech you, he's not, you know, just saying, well, guys, you know, this is something you should do. From the depths of his heart, he was saying, I beseech you, guys. I beg you. I plead with you. I plead with you. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. He's not just having casual conversation. He's saying in the Passion Translation, I encourage you, surrender yourselves to God. That means when you surrender everything you want to do, all your freedoms, you are voluntarily saying, look, I give it all up. I give it all up and I just come to you. Saying, surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices. So that lets us know that he wants us alive, not dead. And live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. This gives us some more insight. You live in holiness, you're going to experience everything that delights God's heart. The Bible says that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. But his servant has to be living in holiness. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. So again, you're reading into that. Paul is saying, if we're not doing this, then we're not genuine in our worship. Then he steps on toes. Verse 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Paul just told the Romans, and it's telling us, everything that we used to think about before Christ needs to go. The way we used to think about things needs to go. Why we thought the way we thought needs to go. He said a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. And this is speaking to me, and it's telling me that I am not going to be able to properly discern God's will if I don't change the way I think. Because if the way I think is still carnal, I'm going to be looking at God, what God wants done from a carnal perspective. And looking at what God wants you to do from a carnal perspective will cause you to not do it because it won't seem possible. Because with God, all things are possible. And if you're not with him, nothing is possible. So if we consider, when you think about what he said, and that's one of the things that I do a lot. I read scripture and I try and figure out or think about what was going on. Why did he say it? How are the people living during that time? Sometimes I'll do some research to find out about the lifestyles during that period of time. But it's apparent when you look at the words that the Apostle Paul used, it's very easy to conclude that the church at Rome was not in line with who they were supposed to be as Christians. It's apparent to me, at least, that they were doing some things that Paul knew were not pleasing in God's sight, and that were, and more importantly, were not helping the cause of Christ. I shared this on Sunday. One of the restaurants that I go to, and you know, I know folks. I stop and talk with everybody. This particular restaurant, because I don't usually order what's on the menu. I'll go into a restaurant and order what I need to eat. So therefore, they wind up with different things. And when I want pizza, I'll go to a particular restaurant and order a little pie, and I tell them put marinara sauce and green peppers on it. Put it in the oven. When it comes out of the oven, I want raw broccoli, raw garlic, raw tomatoes, you know, what else? Broccoli, tomatoes, and raw spinach, a little bit of mozzarella. And he nicknamed it the Pastor Greg. So if I want one, I'll call. I say, I want a couple of Pastor Gregs. And we just developed that friendship. Well, he asked me a question when I was in there a couple of weeks ago. He said, Pastor, may I ask you a question? I said, sure, of course you can. Then he started walking around, and I looked at him. He said, I don't want to sound disrespectful. I said, just ask your question. And he looked at me, and he said, what the heck is wrong with your profession? Meaning, what's wrong with pastors, is what he was asking. And I said to him, what do you mean? Well, obviously, he heard a group of pastors make some comments that he just didn't think would ever come out of the mouth of anybody who's holy. And he asked me for an explanation. And I talked to him. I told him people are in different places and God has us teaching and other folks teaching church get back to being the church. But the people that made the comments to him or made the comments that he heard, they were thinking about things that were not lining up with God's word. Yes, there were social issues. Yes, there are things of concern to the people. But what we have to understand is as the church, if we operate and function as the church and change the hearts of people, the things that people do that are wrong will start to change. But there has to be a heart change first. And there has to be a catalyst to cause that heart change. And the catalyst is the church. It's what the owner of that particular establishment said to me. He said, I watch you. I see how you conduct yourself. And sometimes, you know, I may say something. I said, oh, no, Pastor Greg wouldn't have responded like that. And he said, that's what I expect to see from pastors. That's what he expects. Now, I didn't ask him if he was born again or not, but he has an expectation that if you're godly, there is a standard that you're going to live by, and there is a line that you're not going to cross. That you're not going to cross. So those the Romans during that time We're probably thinking about things that were not good and acceptable and perfect. And Paul told them the solution is to totally change the way you were thinking. See, folks, a circumstance is never the issue. It's never the problem. The problem is how you think about the circumstance. That's the problem. Case in point, I asked for intense physical therapy. They gave me an intense physical therapy session today. Now, I can either think everything's hurting, let me go lay down, which is what my body is screaming at me to do. He's saying I worked enough today, and I'm like, shut up, we're not finished yet. I have a choice. I can give in to it, or I could take a stand and say, no, I'm thinking I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I was speaking to Minister Phyllis, my wife, before I came in, and I told her, I said, it doesn't matter how I'm feeling now. The minute I step into the war room, I'm going to feel great. And the minute I came down the hallway, the things that were aching when I took a step stopped aching. Well, that's what I expected because I have work that I have to do. I could lay down in the soaker when this is over. But a circumstance is never the problem. It's what you think about a circumstance that's the problem. And that's important to understand because what you think is going to dictate what you're going to do. Look at Proverbs 23. We're going to look at the first part of verse 7. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. In Proverbs 4:23, usually talks about the heart, but the New Century Version says something more in line with Proverbs 23:7. The New Century Version says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. What you think about something, what you think about a situation is going to dictate to you exactly what you're going to do. That's why it's so important to change the way we think, to make sure that our thoughts line up with who we are. And how do you do that? Well, John 8:31 and 32 gives us a great answer. King James Version. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I immediately thought about a couple of weeks ago when I first read this scripture again, when it says the truth shall make you free. The thought came in, and I don't usually think along these lines, but I did that time, about the Emancipation Proclamation. That's the document that President Lincoln signed that officially, uncategorically gave freedom to, I think in my study, there was almost 4 million slaves. Immediately gave them freedom. Yet, even though when he signed that document, all of those slaves were immediately free, all of them didn't know it. And some stayed captive longer than they needed to because they didn't know. No one told them. They weren't associated with people who would tell them that or give them that information. So they didn't know, and they stayed slaves longer than they should have because they just didn't know. We stay slaves to sin. We stay slaves to our past life because we didn't know that we could change the way we think. We thought because of how we grew up and where we grew up and our culture and history and ancestry and all of that stuff, that dictates this is the way we're supposed to think, this is the way we're supposed to act. That's not so. That's not so. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that old things are passed away and all things have become new. So if all things have become new, that means nothing's left out of all. So that means the way I think needs to become new. How I think about things needs to be different. It needs to be different because we now know the truth. And there are two ways that I believe you need to know the truth. You need to know it intellectually, which means you just have knowledge of it, you know. But as I shared on Sunday, and you need to get Sunday's message, it's called The Intimate Truth. You listen to that and you'll understand better what I'm about to say. You need to be intimate with the truth. Because when you're intimate, it's very personal. It's very real. And it uncovers everything. Once you've intimate, there are no secrets. There are no secrets. And that word, K-N-O-W, in the King James, often means intimacy. For example, it says, Adam knew Eve. And Eve had a child. So you can understand the type of intimacy it's inferring. We need to be that close with the truth. Then we'll know all of it. We'll know every aspect of it. We'll know how the truth feels. Why is that important? So that you'll know when it's not the truth. That's why. I got more to tell you about that in a little bit. Now, you need to know the truth, as I just said, when you hear it. You need to know the truth when you read it. And whether or not you're born again has nothing to do with you hearing and knowing the truth. Too many people think, well, I'm not going to know the truth. I'm not going to understand the truth until I receive Jesus Christ as Savior. If that were so, you would never receive Christ. Because every single person that received Christ as Savior, received Jesus as Lord, was a sinner when they did it. Yet their spirits gave them the revelation, what you're hearing now is the truth. And you need to change the way you think about it and go on and stand up or raise your hand or whatever you're asked to do at that moment, because your spirit is saying, this is truth. And I want this truth and I want it now. While you are still a sinner. And then once you make the confession, of course, now you're a saint. You're not a sin, no longer a sinner. But you were when you made that confession. You were when you realized that what you were saying was the truth. So that eliminates the excuse, well, I didn't know because I'm not spiritual. You still have a spirit. And it still responds to God. Now, whether you listen to it or not, that's another story. That's another story. But the scripture is clear. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You get revelation that that's the truth while you are still a sinner. So the fact that you're born again is irrefutable proof that you can recognize truth when you hear it. And it doesn't matter if for years and years and years you were exposed to a lie. 1 second of the truth will erase centuries of lies. And it will change your life around. Go to Mark 5. This is about the woman with the issue of blood. Until today, I never looked at this account in this light before. But I'm going to share some verses, talk about her story for a bit, out of the Passion Translation. It says, now in the crowd that day was a woman who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. She had endured a great deal under the care of various doctors, yet in spite of spending all she had on their treatments, she was not getting better, but worse. Now think about what we know about this woman. She had a blood disease that caused her to continually bleed. What do you think her mindset was? Well, when anyone notices that unnatural condition, your thought is, I need medical attention. So she went to see a doctor. Did it work? No. Did she do something different? No. She kept going to doctors for 12 years. Each year she's getting worse, and the only thing that's changing is the amount of money in her bank account, because she's spending it out on doctors to the point where after 12 years she had nothing left, and she's in worse shape than she was 12 years prior. Why did she keep doing that? Well, she was imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around her. That's what you did. If you had that condition, this is what you do. Just like now, people hear someone has a diagnosis and they immediately go to what the culture says, this is what you do. Forgetting that the greater one lives in us. Forgetting that we have a covenant with God. But we'll go right to what the culture dictates, right to what the culture demands. And when things happen that we don't like, the first place we look is at our culture. Well, it's because of this or it's because of that. Well, it was because of her culture that woman went through torture for the last 12 years of her life. Or I should say the past 12 years of her life. Doing what people suggested, doing what doctors suggested, doling out all her resources. Now she's left with nothing. Verse 27 in Mark 5. When she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd and came up behind him and touched his prayer shawl. For she kept saying to herself, if only I could touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. As soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it, for she could feel her body instantly being healed of her disease. Something changed. Something changed. This woman had a mindset for 12 years. I got to go to the doctors. I got to stay away from people. But the medical profession did not help her. The medical treatment, year one, didn't help. What was her option? Go to somebody else. Year two, she goes to somebody else, has a different treatment. And as I said earlier, the only thing that's changing is the amount of money that she has to use, because she was locked into the way of the culture around her. She kept doing the same thing and getting the same results and losing all she had in the process. Today, we keep doing the same thing and we're getting the same results. And we're losing things in the process. And on top of all of that, she still has an active blood disease. But it says, verse 27, says, when she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd. Somebody told her that there was another way. Somebody had to tell her, there's this man, Jesus, who has powers to heal. Someone had to tell her that. The Bible doesn't say how long it took her to find out where Jesus was. But who knows, maybe a friend stopped by and said, hey, I saw this person walking in the marketplace. And he healed people. He's on his way to heal someone now. But the point is, however she heard it, in order for her to benefit from what she believed Jesus had the power to do, she had to come outside of the box. She had to think outside of the box. She had to put away her years and years of cultural indoctrination and do something that her spirit was prompting her to do. Get to this person, Jesus, and touch him. She had to leave the norm, and she did that through a total reformation of how she thought. And it had to be total. Why do I say that? Well, there were strict laws forbidding her to go out in public with that bleeding disorder, unless she walked down the street screaming out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," and faced that humiliation. I believe if that were the only way, she would have done that, because she was getting to Jesus. She had to push through the crowd just to touch him. But that's what she's thinking. She's no longer thinking, "I got to come up with a way to make money to try another treatment." She's thinking, "I have to get to Jesus and everything else will be fine." That became her thought. The law, as I said earlier, forbade her from doing it. She did it anyway. Why? She had nothing to lose and everything to gain. So she didn't walk down the street screaming out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." She kept saying to herself, "If I could just touch his clothes, I know I will be healed." Going from, "It's been 12 years and all I'm doing is getting worse," to, I know I'll be healed. Not I can be healed, not I might be healed. If I touch his clothes, I will be healed. And that's what she did. She pressed through, touched the hem of his garment. And according to verse 29 in Mark 5, as soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it. For she could feel her body instantly being healed of her disease. She felt it instantly being healed. For 12 years, going from doctor to doctor, spending all of her resources and just getting worse, not getting any better, somehow she hears about this person, Jesus, and how he healed people, and her spirit received that. Her spirit received that as truth. And she let that come from her spirit into her heart. It became the abundance of her heart, and she spoke it with her mouth. "If I just get to touch his garment, I'll be healed." That's what I believe. That's what she believed. Her spirit received truth and caused a total reformation of her thinking. She did what Paul is instructing us to do in Romans. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. When she received the truth, she knew, God doesn't want me to live like this. He doesn't want me to go around, and he doesn't want me to have another day bleeding like this. So I'm going to get to Jesus, and this problem's going away today. That was her attitude, which is different from what it was for the previous 12 years. She realized she didn't have to be sick anymore. Listen, folks. All she needed was intimate contact with the truth. And once she got that, her body instantly healed. Once she heard that it could happen, change the way she thinks. Just knowing about it. Just get to this person, Jesus, you'll be healed. Wow, I never knew that. Well, just like those slaves with the Emancipation Proclamation, there's some didn't know that. No one told them. They wanted them in a place or position where they could find out on their own. She found out. Somehow she found out. She received it as truth. And she said, in order to get this, I have to change the way I think. I'm no longer going to be bound by the boundaries set up by this culture around me. It's keeping me from the truth. It's keeping me from getting what God wants for me. And I'm not going to be without it any longer. I'm going to believe and think about what's going to happen to me the moment I touch the hem of his garment. That's what I'm going to think about. And that's all I'm going to think about. That's what she did, and that's why she got healed. Total reformation of how she thought, because she had contact, she made contact with the truth. With the truth. Right now, I know I walked out here a few times before, but I walked back. This time I'm not going to. Right now, you have a pain and you're going down your left leg, almost down to your ankle, and it hurts when you try and just even move your leg like this. Well, just start doing this right now, and that leg will just loosen up. That muscle will just loosen up and you'll feel better. And then go to Facebook and send us a comment and let us know what happened. Right now. Yeah, it's outside the box. It's outside the box. That's okay. Don't think about it being outside the box. Think about walking around pain-free. And the same thing with that right arm, elbow. Not sure which one it is. But as they say, it hurts the high heavens when you try and move it. Well, just move it like this. And shout hallelujah, because you won't feel any pain. Then go to Facebook and leave us a comment. Let us know. Or use the contact information that'll be on the screen in a little bit and let us know. Let us know. The same thing with that neck injury. I don't know if it's like whiplash or, but it just went right down the back of your neck. You know, just stand up, put your hands on your hips like this, and just move your head from side to just turn it just like this. No pain. No pain. Why? You just had intimate contact with the truth. Well, you're welcome to write me. I'll show you my notes. None of this is in there. None of this is in there. This is what God wants to do right now. This is what he wants to do. You've heard the truth. Forget about what the culture around you has said about your condition. God said, and the truth is, with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you were healed. And just like the one with the issue of blood, you have to press through the pain, press through any whatever level of uncomfortableness there is, and get to your touch. Get to your touch. And with that touch comes healing. Why? Because when that touch, with that touch, pulls virtue from Jesus to you. And that which is evil cannot hang out with virtue. Cannot. Take the test again. Yeah, you may not have passed it the first time. You'll pass it this time. Take the test again. Jesus knew when power was going out of him. Just like I knew when power came into this room to go into you. Virtue. And the virtue went into those who were reaching and touching. If you're not reaching and touching, there's no virtue going into you. It's all around you, but you have to change the way you think. And it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter. Someone's walking through a supermarket. You said, oh, I wish I was in the supermarket. Stop right where you are and speak to whatever that part of your body is that's malfunctioning and tell it, with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you were healed. Function like you were healed and go on about your business healed with no pain. Don't let the culture that you're used to stop you from receiving what's entitled to you as a new creature in Christ Jesus, as it tells us in 2 Corinthians. If any man be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old thoughts are passed away. Old ways of thinking are passed away, and all things have become new. Operate in the new. Operate in the new. We have to accept the truth. We have to conduct ourselves in a way that demonstrates we believe the truth. And the truth that we believe is that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we believe, that he is the Son of God. We believe old things are passed away and all things have become new. It means that our reliance on the principles, procedures, dictates of the culture around us has to change. We are the church, founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We need to go straight line, right through the enemy. We don't have to do any fancy tricks. Eye to eye. Straight at them, because the truth that we believe, the way we've changed our thinking, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us because we are the church. Being the church, the way we think about people has to change. The way we conduct ourselves has to change. Piggyback a little bit, because I know Pastor Ed's been teaching on it on Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ, but we don't experience none of that, folks, until we do this one thing. Have a total reformation of the way we think. Father, we thank you. We give you alone all the glory, all the honor, and every bit of praise. We thank you, Father, for the word that you've spoken to us. We thank you, Father, for the healings that took place this evening. Even if the things that you didn't have me call out, anyone that wanted to grab hold of the truth is available to heal them. The truth is available and wants to. As a matter of fact, the truth is available and already did. We just have to change the way we think so that we can grab hold of that truth and let it be a benefit to us. Let it become real to us. We thank you for your Holy Ghost, whose job is to guide us into all truth, that he will do so. He'll take this message, and every moment, every instance where truth is showing up, it'll say, this is truth, listen to it. And there'll be a stirring in our spirits, and we'll know this is truth, and I have to grab hold of it. Father, we want our lives to change, and not just any change. We want to be changed into your image. And you said we do it from glory to glory. You're making us more holy as we're changed into your image by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, still a couple of things we're going to do, but don't forget to send us a comment or fill out some contact information. We just want to know. Just want to know what God did for you tonight, because we know he did it. He said he'll make every word he gives me come to pass. That's why I covet to only do those things he tells me to do or say those things he tells me to say, because I want it to come to pass. And he says he watches over his word to perform it. He doesn't watch over Pastor Greg's words. He watches over his words. So Pastor Greg has to make sure that the words that come out of his mouth line up with the words that God wants spoken, and God can watch over them and make them come to pass. Amen? Now, I've been talking, God's been talking a lot about the truth, knowing the truth, having a total reformation of the way you think. And in order to do that, you have to have intimate contact with that truth, the person of Jesus Christ. And the way you do that is just what I said, what I shared earlier. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You believe in your heart. God raised him from the dead. You're saved. Just like that, you're saved. So let's just make this confession. Father, I believe that you're God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. Jesus, I believe you went to the cross and died for my sins. I believe you were buried and went to hell in my place. And I believe that after 3 days in hell, God raised you from the dead. You're seated at his right hand, and you're coming again soon. So I submit myself to you, Jesus. I turn from my past ways, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, friend, if you made that confession according to the scripture, you just got born again. You just made contact with the truth, and the truth came to live inside you. There is another step that we want to talk to you about. We want to let you know who you've become and what's available to you. So you can use the contact information and contact us. Say, I did that confession with Pastor Greg. I'm now born again. What do I do next? We'll send you a packet and let you know. And if you have any questions or any concerns, use the same contact information and write me. I will respond. It probably won't be the same day I get the communication from you, but I will respond to it. I guarantee you, I will respond. You write, I'll answer.